Hello, this is Father Frank Pavone, Director of Priests for Life. Welcome once again to Faith Matters, on which we reflect together on the marvelous truths of our faith and the way in which the Church's feasts celebrate that faith throughout the year. We are now in the Easter season. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is a marvelous fact so great, a truth so marvelous, that one day is not enough to celebrate it. The Church dedicates an entire season of 50 days to celebrate in a particular way the Feast of the Resurrection. The Easter season begins, of course, with the great vigil of Easter and Easter Day itself, and then continues in a special way for the first week of the Easter season, which is actually considered by the Church's liturgy to be one single day. Each one of those days of the first week of the Easter season, the Church prays, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad." And then that joy overflows into the following days and weeks as we continue to reflect on the various scripture passages which tell us not only about the resurrection itself, but about what that resurrection means for you and for me, what it means for the life of the Church, how it was proclaimed to all people, starting with the work of the apostles and continuing with the work of their successors. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he did not only conquer his own death, he conquered yours and mine. He overturned the entire kingdom of death. So when we celebrate with joy that Christ is risen, we are not just saying, "Isn't this great what happened to him?" We are saying, "Isn't this great what happens to us and what is going to happen to us?" Yes, we will die. Yes, our bodies will be buried. But that is not the end of the human story. That is not the end of the story of your life. For some people, the story of human life is birth, life, and death. But for the Christian who celebrates Easter, the story of human life is life, death, and resurrection. And why is that the case? Well, think of it this way. Where were you 100 years ago today? 500 years ago today? You were nowhere because you didn't exist. So why are you here now? What brought you out of that nothingness and into life? And if a group of people were sitting around a table 500 years ago and they imagined someone exactly like you with all your characteristics, with all your good points, with all your bad points, and they wrote these all down and then they looked at each other and said, "Well, now, what are the chances that this person could ever come to be? How can we change this from an idea into a reality?" They would have had to look at each other and say, "Well, this is not something in our power to do. This is only a thought." But now you are not only a thought, you are here. How did that happen? Well, we can say our parents came together and thanks to their union, we were conceived and born. And certainly that's true, and certainly without our parents we would not be here. But that still doesn't answer the question. Because when your parents came together and conceived a child, it did not have to be you. It could have been any one of millions of possible brothers or sisters of yours. But it was you. And the only ultimate reason is that God himself wanted you to be. And the reason he wanted you to be is because he loves you. The reason he wanted me to be is because he loves me. Here's the question. Can you turn God's love off? Can you get him to stop loving you? Yes, our life ends and we die, but when a person dies, does that mean that God forgot about that person? Does that mean that God no longer loves that person? Did his love run out? No, it didn't. And there's the good news. Precisely because we can't turn God's love off, and precisely because that's the love that brought us into life, then that's the love that will keep us in life. That's the love that will raise us from the dead. The very love that raised Christ from the dead, he is alive even today. And thanks to our baptism into Christ Jesus, we too share the hope of resurrection. The Easter liturgy, in fact, includes a renewal of the vows of baptism. Once again we say we renounce Satan and all his works and all his empty promises. And then we say, yes, we believe in God the Father. We believe in his Son who was crucified, died, and rose again. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And the Scripture teaches us that thanks to this faith, we begin sharing, even now, the eternal life of the risen Christ. We begin sharing it now by faith. Christ is truly alive in us who are baptized and who are in the state of grace, and that life will blossom fully in the next world. When Christ returns, we will rise even physically, because the resurrection of Christ is a physical reality. And so it will be for us. The life of heaven is a life in body as well as in soul. During the Easter season, I invite you to reflect on the marvelous scripture passages, not only that you will hear in the liturgy, but those that you can find on your own in the Bible, that talk about the resurrection, eternal life, and heaven. Isaiah, for example, foretold the victory of God over death when in his prophecy he says, speaking in the name of the Lord, that I will destroy the veil that veils all people, the web that is woven over all nations. The Lord will destroy death forever. Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 to 8. This is what he had done in the resurrection of Christ. Those words were fulfilled. St. Paul reflects on the resurrection in a marvelous passage. In the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, in chapter 15, Christ is raised from the dead, he proclaims, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. First fruits means that one has come and more will follow. And the more who will follow will be all of us, the members of the church joined to the body of Christ. Think of heaven. Think of it every day. It is our hope. It is our goal. It is our destiny. Heaven where, as Scripture tells us in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, there will be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more crying out or pain, no more death. Easter and the Easter season is the beginning of the unfolding of this reality that will last forever, that there will be no more death. We will be together with the risen Christ, together with each other, no longer having to fear sickness, no longer having to fear separation, no longer looking forward at the prospect of death. We will then be looking back at death. And ahead of us will only be life, life that will only increase, life that will only be more joyful as each day in heaven goes by. And for how long will it go by? Brothers and sisters, it is forever. And to get some glimpse of what forever means, think of this. Imagine a bird coming and taking a tiny little grain of sand and flying off for a million years, and then coming back and taking another tiny little grain and flying off for a million years again, and then coming back and taking a third grain. Imagine at that rate how long it will take the bird to empty off all the beaches, all the fields, all the lands of the face of the earth. He will do it, and we will have only begun our first day in heaven. Endless joy, endless life, that's the promise of the gospel. The promise of the resurrection, the promise of the Easter season. Should we not be celebrating these days in joy? Should we not be reflecting with the help of the Scriptures on this promise of eternal life? And should we be saying to the risen Christ today, Lord Jesus, give me greater hope than ever before that I will share this life with you, and help me to do the things that I need to do to inherit the life of heaven. Christ indeed is risen. May he bless you with his peace and his joy.